children's address for us. A copy of the scriptures with you this morning. I want you to turn to Genesis and the chapter 45. The book of Genesis and the chapter 45. God has a strange way of bringing the skeletons out of the cupboard. For 20 long years, these boys thought that Joseph was dead. But now we come to the grand reunion. We're going to read a part of this passage of Scripture. What has happened previous to this point, Joseph has made himself known to his brothers. What tears and what joy there's been. We're going to commence our reading at the verse number 16 of Genesis chapter 45. And we'll read through to the end of the chapter. And the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brethren are come, and it pleased Pharaoh well, and his servants. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, Say unto thy brethren, This do ye, led your beast, and go, get you into the land of Canaan. And take your father and your households, and come unto me, and I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and ye shall eat the fat of the land. Now thou art commanded, this do ye. Take you wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and for your wives, and bring your father and come. Also regard not your stuff, for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. And the children of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh, and gave them provision for the way. To all of them he gave each man changes of raiment, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. And to his father he sent after this manner, 10 asses laden with the good things of Egypt, and 10 she asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his father by the way. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed, and he said unto them, See that ye fall not out by the way. And they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. What do you expect? What do you expect? Whenever they had lied to him before, what do you expect? His father did not believe them. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them, and when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. And Israel said, It is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. It is the verse 24 that I want to pull in tonight, this morning. Want to park ourselves, and I want to speak on this passage, verse 24. Let's read it. So he, that being Joseph, sent his brethren away, and they departed. And he said unto them, See that ye fall not out by the way. Let's keep our Bibles open. There is nothing that stirs the emotions within the human heart more than a family reunion. How regrets are shared, how tears are shed, and how stories are retold by a severed family being reunited. It has been 20 long years since Joseph had last seen Jacob's 10 sons. The last time that they saw this man, he was heading off in a caravan of Ishmaelites down to the land of Egypt. To them, they just assumed that Joseph had died. And yet God in his sovereign plan, and God in his providential dealings with this man, Joseph, had placed Joseph in a strategic position where Joseph was literally going to see all his dreams come true before his very eyes. It was the pressure cooker situation of the famine within the land that needed these 10 boys to return back to the land of Egypt for the second time in search for food. This time their numbers had been swelled by one, because it is now that they bring the youngest boy, Benjamin, with them on this occasion. It was on this occasion whenever they came in before Joseph and their sin found them out that Joseph made himself known unto his brothers. Let's read what it says in the verse number 1 of verse of chapter 45. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before them that stood by him, and he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me." And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brothers. And he wept aloud, and all the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?" And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. Verse 15. Moreover, Joseph kissed all his brethren. Every single one. He kissed them all. The kiss of forgiveness. And he wept upon them, and after that, his brethren talked with him. What tears were shed. What kisses were showered upon these boys by the reuniting of that family. And yet there was one person in that family that missed it all. The old man Jacob. The old dad was still at the homestead. The old man Jacob missed it all. And so with provision for the way, for the journey ahead, and with a royal commission from Pharaoh himself, the brothers are sent home to fetch Jacob and to bring him into Egypt. For there in Egypt, he was going to be provided for. The storehouses are going to be opened for the old man Jacob. I want you to see as Joseph gathers these 11 boys together again. And as they're about to head out, Joseph gives them one last command. And it is upon what Joseph said that I want to speak on a few moments this morning. This is what he said, verse 24. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed, and said unto them, "See that ye fall not out by the way." For a few moments this morning, I want us to consider the words of Joseph to his brothers and see what lessons we can learn from Genesis 45 and the verse number 24. I believe that this exhortation that Joseph gave these boys is as relevant for you in this meeting as it was relevant for these boys as they headed back to the homestead to find a Jacob. You see, my dear friend, I believe that God knew. I believe that God knows that there is a very great possibility that there are individuals in Korean Free Presbyterian Church that have fallen out by the way. Now, I'm not speaking about somebody falling out by the way going to the nightclubs of this world. I'm not speaking about that. I'm not speaking about an individual falling out by the way that destroys their testimony for Jesus Christ by committing some sin that is seen in the church as being wrong and in the eyes of God is against the very law of God. I'm not speaking about those individuals. I'm speaking about individuals that once came to the prayer meeting and are no longer there. I want to say to you, child of God, I don't care how many years you're saved. I don't care what you're doing in the Church of Jesus Christ. If you at one occasion in your lifetime ever attended the midweek prayer meeting and you no longer do that, I want to say that you have fallen out by the way. You, child of God, have fallen out by the way. I want to speak to you, young man. If there was ever a moment in your life, young girl, if there was ever a moment in your life that you had a quiet time with God, that there was a place in your house, a place in one of your fields that you sought the Lord, time whenever you spent alone with God, time whenever you sought God's face in prayer, and you no longer do that, I want to say to you, you have fallen out by the way. Now you can put on a show to the church, you can put the hat on your head, you can put the tie on your, through, over your neck, you can put a Bible in your hand, but child of God, God says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. And God knows your heart. God knows your heart. And God knows that you have fallen out by the way. And I tell you, child of God, it's time to get back on the way. It's time to get back on the way. There is nothing, can I say? Are you listening? Can I say to you, child of God, there is nothing that destroys the testimony of Jesus Christ more than an individual that falls out by the way. You may ask, well, who is this message relevant for? Is this message relevant for maybe those who have just recently got saved? No, my dear child of God. This message is as relevant for men that have been on the road 50, 60, possibly 70 years. This message is as relevant for you, child of God, as it is relevant for a young convert. It's not the first mile, folks. It's the last mile. And don't you ever get into a position where you think that you couldn't fall from God. Don't you ever get into a position just because you have been saved 50 years that you couldn't fall away from God. Within every human heart, there is a possibility of falling out by the way. The first thing that I want us to consider this morning, what could have caused them or made these boys fall out by the way? You see, Joseph wouldn't have said this if he didn't believe that there was a very grave possibility that on their way home that these boys would fall out by the way. He wouldn't have said it if he did not believe that there was that possibility. I wonder what causes Christians to fall out by the way. I wonder what can cause a person to walk away from God. Somebody to walk away from the house of God, from the place of prayer, from your closet time, walking away from God's people and from the things of God. And what could we, and we need to be on our guard against? What child of God do we need to be on our guard against so that we do not fall out by the way and cause the testimony of Jesus Christ? Sir, madam, I don't care about your name. I don't care what you think about yourself. The only thing that concerns me this morning is the name of the Lord. Is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Young man, young woman, have you fallen out by the way? What could have caused them to fall out by the way? What causes division within a church of Jesus Christ? What causes people who once loved the Lord, who once filled these seats, what has caused them to fall out by the way? What could cause you to fall out by the way? The first thing, division in the family. Division in the family. You see, Joseph knew his brothers. Joseph knew the depravity of his brothers' hearts. That he knew that these boys were still as sinful as they were 20 years ago. He remembered how, as a young boy, he brought to his father their evil report. You can read that in Genesis 37 in the verse number 2. And I'm sure, like any other family, there was disagreements. I'm sure there were fallouts. I'm sure there were quarrels. And I'm sure there were fights. And thus, Joseph warned them, listen, boys. Young man, listen, boys. Don't fall out, by the way. Joseph knew that division could be caused by one sin. It was the sin that had plagued these boys all their lives, from Reuben right down to Benjamin. It was the same sin. It had fueled their lives and had plagued their lives ever since the moment that Joseph stepped onto the scene of history and into this family circle. Joseph was daddy's boy. Do you know what that sin was that caused division within that family? It was the sin of envy. Envy. Let's turn to Genesis 37. Genesis chapter 37, if it does nothing to turn it up, it'll keep you awake this morning by turning up Genesis 37. Genesis chapter number 37. Now let's see from the verse number 10. I want you to see that Joseph has just told his brothers his dreams. Remember I said that Joseph is going to see all his dreams come true? Well, someday he is. Whenever you're in the will of God, God will make all your dreams come true. Now, it might take a few moments, it might take some years, but there's coming a time when all your dreams will come true. And he's just told his brothers, he's telling them the dreams. And sometimes whenever you read Joseph, you just think, Joseph, before he opens his mouth, you're kind of thinking, Joseph, shut up. Don't tell him your dream, because you're going to go to Egypt because of this. But God in his providential plan has a reason for him to tell him in dreams. Verse number 10, and he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come and bow down ourselves to thee in the earth? Look what it says, verse 11. See it there? Can you see it? There it is. Look what it says. And his brethren envied him. But his father observed to say, it was a sin of envy that fueled jealousy, that moved to hatred, that would ultimately lead to almost murder. You see, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It is bitterness. Whenever the sin of bitterness gets into an individual soul, it leads then to envy, that leads to jealousy, that leads ultimately to murder. Now you may think, but I haven't murdered anyone. James says, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And if there's people in this meeting house, and you hit your brother, you hit your sister, then God sees you as a murderer. Division in the family could have caused these boys to fall out by the way. You may say, well, what could have caused envy to come into these boys' lives as they made their way back to Jacob? Look what it says back to Genesis chapter 45. Let's read what it says, verse 22 and verse 23. It says, now Joseph to all of them, he gave each man changes of raiment. But to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver, 5 changes of raiment. I can see these boys. It's not fair, Joseph. It's not fair. Look what you've given to Benjamin. What about us? Those men could have envied what Joseph had given Benjamin, because Joseph gave Benjamin more than what he had given his brothers, his other 10 brothers. There are people in the Church of Jesus Christ, and this causes them to go away from God. They are envious of other believers. Somebody else's position in the church. Sir, you went up for election of an eldership and you did not get the job. And you're envious of another brother. You need to be careful that you don't fall out by the way. Sir, madam, there was a position in the Sunday school and some other woman got that Sunday school class. You need to be careful that envy and jealousy doesn't come into your heart, that you fall out by the way. It can happen within the Church of Jesus Christ. Jealousy of somebody else being used of God, somebody else being in the position of power and authority, division in God's family can cause many to fall out by the way. You know, Abraham understood this. Abraham understood what division in the family could do. Remember, he was with Lot, and there was, because there wasn't enough, there are two farmers fighting, and I'm sure there's nothing new about that. So there wasn't enough grass for the cattle. And the herdmen, they start to fight. And they start to fight. And what did Abraham say? Abraham said, let there be no strife between, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between thy herdmen and thy herdmen. Why? For we be brethren. That's why. Listen up. Our testimony, the testimony of Jehovah God that has brought me out of the Isle of the Chaldees, is being brought into dishonor because of infighting in the family. And I want to say, child of God, that there's a lot of people in God's work and they've got very thin skin. Now I've learned, I'm not very old in the faith, I'm not very old in doing this here, but I've learned to get good, tough skin like a rhinoceros or like an elephant. Because there are people and they're going to say things about me, but I don't care. There's people and they're going to say and do things against, but we do not care as long as we keep right with the Lord. And unfortunately, there are people in God's house and they've got that thin of skin that if even somebody looks at them, they're offended. And it causes division in the family. It could have caused them to fall out. By the way, the second thing was the inconsistency of others. That could have made them fall out, by the way. You see, Joseph knew that it would just take one boy. It would only take one out of the 11 to just sit down and say, boys, I'm not going any further. You see this going back to Jacob and getting him and then getting them all together, that sounds too much like work. So I'm just going to sit down here and I'm just going to stay here. And you know what would have happened, folks? It's like smallpox. Quitting is like smallpox. Everybody just sits down with them. And that happens in God's house. It just takes one individual to say, I'm not going to the gospel evening service anymore. And you'll take other people with you. The inconsistency of others. You know, Reuben. Reuben's a great Bible study. The firstborn in Scripture, you want to know this, the firstborn in Scripture always represents the flesh. You remember Cain and Abel. Cain was the firstborn. Cain was a type of the flesh. He rose up and he slew his righteous brother Abel. It is a type of the flesh. The flesh warreth against the spirit. Well, Reuben here is the firstborn. He's a type of the flesh. And Joseph knew Reuben's heart. Do you know how he knew it? Because he knew. If you read on down into Numbers in the chapter 32, I think it is, you'll find that whenever Moses was sending the children of Israel over into Jordan, and there had to be a battle fought, and there had to be sweat, and there had to be toil. Do you know who decided to stay on this side of Jordan? Do you know who wanted a comfortable lifestyle? It was the Reubenites and the Gadites. A type of the flesh. You know, the flesh doesn't want to get up to battle. But here we see Reuben. And I can see Joseph looking at him eyeball to eyeball, and he says, now listen, Reuben, you need to be careful. You have an influence on these boys. You need to be careful that you don't fall out by the way, because they'll all fall out by you. It only takes one individual to drag many people away from Jesus Christ. Do not think everyone in this meeting, young person upstairs, young man, listen. You have an influence on others. And while you talk through the meeting, you are distracting other people. And that person could someday be in God's hell and will curse your name because of your influence. It only takes one young man, one young woman to distract people in God's house. And they fall out by the way. You see, everyone has an influence. It's like a pond, a still pond. Whenever you throw the stone into the still pond, do you know it sends out the ripple effect? And your life will either ripple into God's eternity, either towards heaven by bringing people to Christ, or your life will have the ripple effect of taking people to hell. Now that's the only two options, folks. Do you remember Elimelech? Elimelech decided to pack up the family. It's time to go to Moab. I can't stay in Bethlehem, Judah anymore. I need to get to Moab. The famine is too great in the land. And there Elimelech takes his family with him. He's disgruntled with God. He doesn't believe that God could provide for him in that place. And so he decides to leave. Do you know what happened in Moab? He dies. And his two boys die. You know the lesson we can learn from that? Not all the prodigals come home. Not all prodigals come home. Four went out of the original four. Just one woman came back. Just one woman come back. It only takes one individual. Just one individual to take others away. The Word of God says in Galatians 5:7, ye did run well. Who did hinder you? Who hindered you? It doesn't say what hindered you. It said who hindered you. Young man, young woman. Is it your boyfriend, girlfriend hindering you from going on with God? I want to give you a little bit of advice. It's quite blunt. But I'm quite a blunt preacher. If there is a person in your life, a girlfriend or a boyfriend, and they are hindering you from going on with God, it's time to sever the relationship. It's time to sever the relationship. The only relationship that should be chiefest in your life, whether you're married or not married, whether you're a married man or a married woman, the chiefest relationship you should be concerned about is your relationship with Jesus Christ. Everything is subservient to that there. Your relationship with the Savior. What else could have hindered them? The enemy's tactics. Ever since the fall in the Garden of Eden until the very crucifixion of Jesus Christ, it was ever the devil's attempt to destroy the royal line of the Messiah. Jesus Christ, God's only Son, was going to come out of the line of the tribe of Judah. Judah was one of these boys that were told not to fall out, by the way. And I know that the devil was always in the background to try and cut off the line of the Messiah. How does the devil come? I believe the devil could have came with a full-scale frontal attack as these boys went on their way to find Jacob. These young men had been given provision for the way. They were traveling through what was known as bandit country. Imagine having all those wagons full of Kingsmill wolves. Say there's a famine in that. Imagine you going through Ethiopia today with about 10 wagons or 10 lorries of Kingsmill bread and Cookstown sausages and meat for the way and provision. Imagine you doing that. What do you think would have happened? If I'd done that today, do you know what would have happened? You would be hijacked. These young men were coming with wagon loads of food and meat and bread for the way, and they were a sitting duck. They were a sitting duck target for the enemy. I could see as the enemy looks, and yet you know what protected them? The angel of the Lord was round about them. The angel of God protected these men. The devil could have came with a full-scale frontal attack, but the enemy also can come with tempting laybys. Tempting laybys. You ever go on a long journey? Maybe it's a couple of hours and you're traveling down and you see a big P, parking sign, picnic area. Do you know what you want to do? You want to pull in and have a rest. There's many of God's people and they've pulled in and they've turned off the ignition key and they've pulled up the handbrake and they're going nowhere for God. They're in a lay-by. You're in a lay-by. Now there's young people in this meeting and you're only maybe what, 15, 16, maybe 18 years of age. Do you know what you have done? At the age of 18, you've pulled up the handbrake and you're saying you're going nowhere. You're going nowhere more for God. That's very sad. Whenever the aged saints of God have ran the race and are nearly at the end, they are looking to you to hand the baton on to. But no, you just want to stay in your lay-by. What type of lay-bys does the devil bring to God's people today? There's a lay-by of business. Could I say to you, sir, I have not come to be your friend, but I have come to be God's servant. I want to say, sir, if on a Tuesday night, prayer meeting night, yes, if on a Tuesday night, you're in your place of business rather than in the house of prayer, then you've fallen out by the way. And you are in one of the devil's tempting laybys. I don't care, folks. I don't care what excuse you bring. You should be in God's house. You profess faith in Jesus Christ. That might offend you. Glory to God. If that offends you, because you know that you're guilty. There is the lay-by of relationships, family life, career, money-making, home-building, the world's pleasures, climbing society's ladder. The devil has many tempting laybys. You know what you need to do today, folks? You need to turn the ignition key back on. You need to get into reverse gear. You need to do a handbrake turn 180 degrees around and you need to get back onto the road and get into fifth gear. Do you remember the story of Pilgrim's Progress? Graceless at the cross became Christian. And there a Christian pilgrim on his journey, he decides just to step over a stile. I think it was with Mr. Hopeful. I think it was. And as they stepped over the stile, they thought that bypass meadows ran right alongside the King's Highway. But very soon they were going to find themselves in Giant Despair's castle. They got out with the key of faith and they got back onto the road. and they put their leg back over the stile where they had left the King's Highway. They erected a warning to every other pilgrim that walked past, and they started back onto the King's Highway. And that's what you need to do this morning. Where you got off the highway, whether it was at a place of prayer, do you know what you need to do on Tuesday night? You need to be at the prayer meeting. Whether it is in your quiet time, folks, that's where you need to meet the Lord again. They fell out, by the way. What made them stay in the way? I need to finish. The first thing that made them stay in the way, the words that they called to their remembrance. They remembered the words of Joseph, and that kept them on the way. I'm sure there were times whenever they felt just like giving up. They just felt like giving up. I can't go on anymore. I can hear Simeon say to the boys, "Listen, boys, I can't go on anymore. This journey is too recent for me." And I can hear then Benjamin say, "But do you not remember what Joseph said? He said, see that you fall not out by the way," and that spurred him to go on. And what we need to remember is the words of our heavenly Joseph to spur us on the way. What words are these? Galatians 6 verse 9. "And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." 1 Corinthians 15:58. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Psalm 126, verse 5 and 6. "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He or she that going forth and bearing precious seed and weepeth shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing our sheaves with us." Oh, remember the words of our heavenly Joseph. What was the other thing? Another thing that kept them on their way was the prize they longed to receive. Do you know why? Because they got a glimpse of their new home. Whenever they were down with Joseph, they got a glimpse of their new home. And oh, what a prize was awaiting for them whenever they finished their journey. And child of God, what a prize awaits us. What a home awaits us. Heaven is our home. And there we'll be with the saints of God. And the splendor and the glory. And Jesus will be there. The story is told of the missionary H.G. Morrison. H.G. Morrison was returning home from many years in the mission field. And as he was on that ocean liner, he realized that the President of the United States of America was on the same boat, Mr. Roosevelt, President Roosevelt. As they came into New York, the bands were playing. The flags were waving. Thousands of people had gathered to see Mr. Roosevelt. And there were large banners saying, "Welcome home, Teddy! Welcome home!" As that old saint of God, H.C. Morrison, walked the gangplank, after Mr. Roosevelt had got off the boat, the crowds had dispersed, the banners had been taken down, the band had went to their separate places, and there was nobody to meet this child of God. He got onto the train, he took the train journey back home. He thought, maybe at the train station, maybe there'll be people there to welcome me. He got off the train. Not one person, not one band, not one banner, not one flag, nobody to meet this child of God that had served God on the mission field. As he walked that street, he said to God, "God, here I am, and I've given my life to trying to win souls, and all that Mr. Roosevelt was doing was shooting bears." And where's my welcome home? And like a voice out of heaven, God spoke to that man and he said, "Sir, Mr. Morrison, you're not home yet. You're not home. We'll have your welcoming committee whenever you get onto the other side of the shore. You'll have those saints that you saw brought to Christ, your family, your friends, those that have gone on before. Mr. Morrison, you're not home yet. I want to say, child of God, you're not home yet. You're not home. And there's no retirement. I don't care what age you are. There's no retirement. You're not home yet. The last thing that kept them on the way was the good news they had to report. Can you not see them get up that road? Joseph is yet alive. We need to tell somebody about it. Child of God, Jesus is yet alive. Have you told anybody this week? Are you like the lepers? We do not well. This is a good day. And we hold our peace. What should we do whenever we see someone fall out by the way? What should we do whenever we see somebody fall out by the way? First of all, we are to take heed. 1 Corinthians 10:12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. It is unfortunate, but there are many along the Christian pathway and they have fallen out by the way. I know that you know that. I know that you know that. What did Jesus Christ say? He said, remember Lot's wife. Why do we need to remember her? Because she fell out by the way. We need to take heed. Secondly, we need to take it to God in prayer. You know, there's a lot of Christians and they love to gossip. Whenever they see somebody fall out by the way, it would be better for you to employ your tongue in praying for them. It would be better for you to employ your tongue by praying for them. Do you remember Saul and Jonathan were fighting on Mount Gilboa? This is David's greatest enemy. He tried to kill him with a javelin. He tried to hunt him down like a partridge over every crevice, over every valley. He tried to hunt this man down and kill him. But whenever news came to David that Saul and Jonathan had been slain on Mount Gilboa, do you know what David lamented? He says, oh, how the mighty are fallen. And then he goes on to say in 2 Samuel chapter 1, tell it not in Gath. You know what he was saying? He says, don't be telling the enemies of God that God's anointed man has fallen. Tell it not in Gath. And instead of you going about the town and gossiping about that person, it would be better for you to take it to God in prayer. The last thing is take action. Take heed. Take it to God in prayer. Take action. Galatians 6 verse 1. Brethren, if a man or woman be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. I believe to our shame in the free church that there are people and they have fallen out by the way and nobody has went after them. Isn't it interesting in Luke 15 that the man went after the sheep? Isn't it interesting that the woman went after the lost coin? But isn't it very interesting that nobody went after the lost son? And we have failed as a church. Oh, but you don't know what they've done to me. Doesn't matter, folks. They've fallen out by the way. Maybe there's somebody that comes to your mind, and you know there's people in your mind this morning that you're thinking about that have fallen out by the way. I want you to take action this week. Now it says, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. Don't you be going in a carnal way, but you take it to God in prayer and that God would lead you and say, brother, I know you've fallen out by the way, but God still loves you and there's still forgiveness. I wouldn't have liked to have been Peter in 2007. Do you know why? Because whenever Peter would have came to the upper room after he had denied the Lord, do you know what would have happened today? That it says, don't want you, Peter. Don't want you, Peter. See that you fall not out by the way. It's not the first mile. It's the last mile. But we need to live as if every day was our last. And at the close of that day that we would see Jesus. I wonder, is there somebody in this meeting and you once walked with God? I know that I'm way over my time. I know that. But have you once professed faith in Jesus Christ and you're no longer with God? I don't care how you look. I know nobody in this meeting house. I don't know anybody. You could be an elder in this meeting house and you have fallen out, by the way. You haven't lifted your Bible this week. Committee man, Sunday school teacher, youth worker. You may not have lifted your Bible this week. You have fallen out by the way. And do you know what's going to keep you back from speaking to this preacher this morning? Do you know what's going to keep you back from kneeling at your bedside and asking God for mercy? Do you know what's going to keep you back? Your stinking, rotten pride. That's going to keep you back. But you're only fooling yourself. And you might be fooling the church, but you're not going to fool God. And I'm not going to fool God. May God find us as people that just keep on the way. And that we would be like Paul, who says, I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which Christ the righteous judge shall give me, and not only to me only, but all those that love his appearing. Well done. They got home. They got home. They saw the Father. They brought the Father. And they settled in Egypt. And Joseph was there. I trust, child of God, that God has spoken to your heart and that you would be man and woman enough to admit, you know, I'm not on the way. But today, Lord, get me back on the way. Get me back on the way. Let's bow in prayer.